It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? So glad that you've joined us today. We're in the book of Joshua, Joshua chapter 9. We're going to read all 27 verses and study those today. So please open your Bibles to Joshua chapter 9. And as you're doing that, I'd like to share with you this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street and just one block north of the Dairy Queen. And I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address is Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. And if you'd like to visit our website, I would love for you to do that. We have many messages up there, Bible studies for you to look at, our Constitution, Plan of Salvation, many things. And it would be www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. I hope that that was enough time for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the study today. And so we begin now to read Joshua chapter 9. And it came to pass, when all the kings which were on this side Jordan, in the hills and in the valleys, and in all the coasts of the great sea over against Lebanon, the Hittite, the Amorite, the Canaanite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, the Jebusite, heard thereof, that they gathered themselves together to fight with Joshua and with Israel with one accord. And when the inhabitants of Gibeon heard what Joshua had done unto Jericho and to Ai, they did work willingly and went and made as if they had been ambassadors, and took old sacks upon their asses and wine bottles old and rent and bound up, and old shoes and clouted upon their feet, and old garments upon them, and all the bread of their provision was dry and moldy. And they went to Joshua unto the camp of Gilgal, and said unto him and to the men of Israel, We be come from a far country. Now therefore make ye a league with us. And the men of Israel said unto the Hivites, Preadventure ye dwell among us. And how shall we make a league with you? And they said to Joshua, We are thy servants. And Joshua said unto them, Who are ye? And from whence come ye? And they said unto him, From a far, very far country thy servants are come, because of the name of the Lord thy God. For we have heard the fame of him, and all that he did in Egypt, and all that he did to the two kings of the Amorites that were beyond Jordan, to Sihon king of Heshbon, and to Og king of Bashan, which was in Ashtaroth. Wherefore our elders and all the inhabitants of our country spake to us, saying, Take victuals with you for the journey, and go to meet them, and say unto them, We are your servants. Therefore now make ye a league with us. Thus our bread we took hot out of our provision, out of our houses on the day we came forth to go unto you, but now behold it is dry and is moldy. And these bottles of wine which were filled with new, and behold they are rent, and these our garments and our shoes are become old by reason of the very long journey. And the men took of their victuals, and asked not counsel at the mouth of the Lord. And Joshua made peace with them, and made a league with them, to let them live, and the princes of the congregation swore unto them. And it came to pass, at the end of the 3 days, after they had made a league with them, that they heard that they were their neighbors, and that they dwelt among them. And the children of Israel journeyed, and came into their cities on the third day. Now their cities were Gibeon, Shephrah, and Beeroth, and Kirjath-Jearimah. And the children of Israel smote them not, because the princes of the congregation had sworn unto them by the Lord God of Israel, and all the congregation murmured against the princes. For all the princes said unto all the congregation, We have sworn unto them by the Lord God of Israel. Now, therefore, we may not touch them. This we will do to them. We will even let them live, lest wrath be upon us, because of the oath which we swore unto them. And the princes said unto them, Let them live, but let them be hewers of wood and drawers of water unto all the congregation, as the princes had promised them. And Joshua called for them, and he spake unto them, saying, Wherefore have ye beguiled us, saying, We are very far from you when ye dwell among us. Now therefore ye are cursed, and there shall none of you be freed from being bondmen and hewers of wood and drawers of water for the house of my God. And they answered Joshua and said, Because it was certainty told thy servants, how that the Lord thy God commanded his servant Moses to give you all the land, and to destroy all the inhabitants of the land from before you. Therefore we were sore afraid of our lives because of you, and have done this thing. And now, behold, we are in thine hand, as it seemeth good and right unto thee to do unto us, do. And so did he unto them, and delivered them out of the hand of the children of Israel, and they slew them not. And Joshua made them that day hewers of wood and drawers of water for the congregation and for the altar of the Lord, even unto this day, in the place which he should choose. The reading of that ninth chapter of Joshua. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank and praise you today that we can come together and enjoy this time. What a precious, precious book. Help us to take a good look at this and glean from it everything that each one of us need today from this. And we know, first of all, that it should bring us to salvation. There is not one word in this precious book that does not lead us and speak of the Lord Jesus and his power and his saving grace. And so please, that we know without a question that we know Jesus is our Savior. And Father, if we don't, please that we ask the Lord Jesus to come into our hearts to save us. And it's so simple, because Jesus, we know you died on the cross of Calvary to save us. And all we have to do is invite you into our hearts. And so, Father, please help all to find your Son, that they may possess salvation and praise you and honor you and serve you, young and old alike, dear Lord, please. All need you. And I thank you for your salvation. I thank you for your precious grace that you show us. Now, please, that you would guide and lead us through this study and show us all that we need to know and learn. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We have quite a deal that's going on here. And it's important that we take a good look at it and we see what's in there for us. And as we look at it, we find that there are these Gibeonites. And we find here there's a group of them. It came to pass when all the kings which were on this side Jordan in the hills, in the valleys, and in all the coasts of the great sea over against Lebanon. And there was the Hittites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, Jebusites, heard thereof, that they gathered themselves together to fight with Joshua and with Israel with one accord. And when the inhabitants of Gibeon heard what Joshua had done unto Jericho and to Ai, they did work, and it says trickery is that word. It's W-I-L-I-L-Y, but it means trickery. And they did work trickery, and went and made as if they had been ambassadors, and they took old sacks upon their asses. Now, look what they did here. You know, we see what's going on. We see of the enemies that's coming. We know that God has destroyed Jericho and Ai now, but what is happening is word is getting out of the power of God. And that power and that strength they made the people fearful, scared them. It scared them. And so we need to realize and recognize the power of God ourselves, how mighty He is, how powerful He is. Well, these folks, when the inhabitants of Gibeon heard what Joshua had done to Jericho and Ai, here's what they did. They went and they took old bread, they took old food products, they took old wine, and they put it on their carry mules there, their asses, and they put on old shoes, they put on old garments, and they took some old bread that was dry and moldy, because you see, they were neighbors. But they did all this, and then they come and they show up at Joshua's door. And they went to Joshua unto the camp of Gilgal, because that's where Joshua was located, and said to him, this is verse 6, and to the men of Israel, we be come from a far country. Now therefore make ye a league with us. And the men of Israel said unto the Hivites, peradventure ye dwell among us. How shall we make a league with you? Because they knew better than that. They knew to make a league with the neighbors because the neighborhood was pathetic. The neighborhood was a very ungodly, unrighteous area. And so they knew better than to make a league or an agreement, a contract, a covenant of sorts with them. They knew better. Well, they should have known better than to do the same with this stranger. Because a stranger, as we know, as we've read, it turns out to be his neighbors. But they tricked him. They come in and they put all these old clothes on and the old shoes on and the old bread and the old wine. And they come looking like they had traveled such a great distance. Well, there's a verse down here that is the problem. Here's the problem. And the men took of their victuals and asked not counsel at the mouth of the Lord. And you'll find that down at verse 14. There's the problem. Did we have a similar problem when they went up to Ai the first time? Didn't they do that upon their own power and their own strength and not go unto the Lord and ask of His will and of His way? Didn't they just go? And they came back defeated. And they came back defeated because of what was going on inside the camp. There was a problem. You know, they were told when they went into Jericho to not keep anything, nothing. And we know that there was a man that did, and he was not only held responsible and put to death, but also was all his family, and all his goods were destroyed. And so now we find that in a very short time, they go up to Ai, they defeat Ai. Now, right now, they're not, if you remember what they did, they stopped and they built an altar unto the Lord, God of Israel. And they did that back in verse 30 of chapter 8. And so they did not continue their battle. In other words, they hit Jericho and then they hit Ai and lost and then went back to Ai and won by the Lord's leadership, His direction, exactly how they were to do it. And when they finished with that, they came at this time, then they had the spoil. And so they built an altar, and they offered burnt offerings and peace sacrifices, peace offerings unto the Lord. And what a beautiful day, what a wonderful day that was. Well, then immediately here show up this group, these representatives. And they says, you know, we've come from such a far country, and we offer this unto you. We're sorry that the bread is moldy and the wine is old. But it was new when we left. It was perfect when we left. But now here we've arrived, and look at it. That shows you how far we have went. Well, they were liars and they were deceivers because they were trying to save their own necks because they had heard what was going to happen. They had heard that that the God of Israel was to go against and destroy everything. And as we look here, we find now in verse 9, for instance, And they said unto him, from a far country thy servants are come, which is a lie, because they were neighbors, because of the name of the Lord thy God, for we have heard the fame of him and all that he did in Egypt, and all that he did to the two kings, the Amorites, that were beyond the Jordan, and Sihon the king of Heshbon, and to Og the king of Bashan, which was in Ashtaroth. Wherefore our elders and all the inhabitants of our country spake to us, saying, take victuals with you for the journey, and go to meet them, and say to them, we are your servants, therefore now make ye a league with us. This our bread we took hot for our provisions out of our houses on the day we came forth to go unto you, but now, behold, it is dry and is moldy. And these bottles of wine which were filled were new. Behold, they are rent, they be rent, and these our garments and our shoes are become old by reason of such a very long journey. And the men took of their victuals and asked not counsel at the mouth of the Lord. And Joshua made peace with them, in verse 15, made a league with them, and let them live. And the princes of the congregation swore unto them. What a sad day. What a very sad day. Because we have Jericho, the victory. We have Ai, the defeat. Then we have Ai, the victory, because the Lord went along. And so quickly, even Joshua is the leader. And it's the same with us. We are no different. We are so much the same that we seek the Lord's will one minute, and the next minute we just out about on our own, making our own decisions. And the Lord lets us kind of fall on our face, so we kind of follow after that. Now, this is not the Lord's will at all. He did not want any leagues, any agreements with these cities, even though they would have been from a far distance. The Lord was their God. The Lord would give them victory, and they did not need to have an agreement with any of these people. But especially with these, because they were the neighbors. They were the idol worshipers, and they were not to have this treaty, this alliance in any way, shape, or form. But also what had happened here, of course, we know that these people purposely lied. They purposely tricked these Israelites, Joshua especially, and the princes, tricked them into thinking that they were from a far country, and they'd come so far. Look at them, isn't that pathetic, the condition they're in? Look at how far they have come to show their honor unto our God. Look at this, look. Well, you know, that's what an old devil does. The old devil gives us the appearance, and many times it's deceiving, and that's exactly the way it was here. They were deceived. Now, all Joshua had to do, as he should have done the first time with Ai, all he had to do was inquire of the Lord. Lord, what should I do here? They have come. They sure appear to be truthful. They appear to be what they say they are. Now, Lord, what should I do? And instead of that, why, he did not take counsel. He just looked at them. He decided on his own. And so they did make peace with them. And it wasn't not only Joshua, but also the leadership of the nation of Israel, the princes, they joined in too. And so, and then it came to pass at the end of 3 days, after they had made a league with them, that they heard that they were their neighbors, and that they dwelt among them. The children of Israel journeyed and come into the cities on the third day, and now their cities of Gibeon, Shepherah, Beroth, and Kirjath-Jearim. And the children of Israel smote them not. See, they were supposed to destroy everybody. But see, they made a mistake, because they had made a covenant, they had made a promise with them that they would not destroy them. Now, it was under false pretenses, because they had lied, but the nation of Israel still stood towards that. And let's look at verse 18. And the children of Israel smote them not, because the princes of the congregation had sworn unto them by the Lord God of Israel, and all the congregation murmured against the princes. But all the princes said unto all the congregation, we have sworn unto them by the Lord God of Israel. Now therefore we may not touch them. This we will do to them. We will even let them live, lest wrath be upon us because of the oath which we swore unto them. And the princes said to them, let them live, but let them be hewers of wood and drawers of water unto the congregation, as the princes had promised them. What it was is that they found that they had been deceived and lied to. And now that they had been deceived and lied to, there was nothing that they could do. They had made an oath. They had made an agreement. And so now it was too late. Oh, they needed to seek out the Lord's will. Once again, verse 14, the men took of their victuals and asked not counsel at the mouth of the Lord. Just that simple. There is the problem. Ask not counsel. There's the problem. And so you see, as we come through and look at this, now we have a problem. And so the princess says, okay, they said they would be our servants, so we'll make them servants. Because of what they've done, we'll make them servants. And they're going to be hewers of wood, and we got a lot of building to do. They'll be drawers of water. It takes a lot of water to water the livestock and to have water for the congregation. And so we'll make them slaves. They'll be our servants because of this lie that they have caused. See, they wouldn't have done that if they would have come from a far country truthfully. Instead of that, why they lied, they deceived. Just what the devil does. And so now in verse 23, now therefore ye are cursed, and there shall none of you be free from being a bondman, hewers of wood, drawers of water for the house of God. And they answered Joshua and said, because it was a certainty told thy servants, how that the Lord thy God commanded his servant Moses to give you all the land, and to destroy all the inhabitants of the land from before you. Therefore we were so afraid of our lives because of you, and we have done this thing. In other words, they're justifying their lies. It says, what else were we to do? You were going to come, and you were going to destroy us. What were we to do? So we concocted this story up, and we come, and now, because of that, we're alive, and we'll be your servants. We'll be your hewers of wood and your carriers of water. We don't care, because we're left alive, and oh, that's all we wanted. And so it worked. You see, the deception worked. And you're going to find here very shortly in the next chapter that there's going to be a problem already with this promise. It's going to cause Israel to do something they weren't supposed to do. They should have destroyed these people, and there was a reason for it. Now, was there an alternative? What else were these people to do? You know, it kind of forced them into a lie, didn't it? Wouldn't you think that was right? Let's go back to Deuteronomy. And Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 20, not very far away. Deuteronomy chapter 20, and we're going to read verses 10 through 12. Verse 10 begins, Deuteronomy 20, verse 10. When thou comest nigh unto a city to fight against it, then proclaim peace unto it, and it shall be, if it make the answer of peace and open unto thee, then it shall be that all the people that is found therein shall be tributaries unto thee, and they shall serve thee. And if it will make no peace with thee, but will make war against thee, then thou shalt besiege it. In other words, destroy him. What that Deuteronomy chapter 20 is telling us is there was an alternative. And that alternative wasn't a lie. That alternative was to come before Joshua and say, we know that you are servants of the Most High God. We would like to join you. We would like to praise your God and honor your God. Will you allow us to do that? We come before you as your humble servants. And if they would have come that way, we're your neighbors. And I know that God's word says that we're to be destroyed, but we're asking for God's mercy. And according to Deuteronomy chapter 20, mercy would have been shown. That's all they needed to do. But instead of that, and then there wouldn't have been a problem. There wouldn't have been a problem come up. But because they deceived Joshua and the princes with their lies, and because with their lies then Joshua and the princes were deceived because they did not check with the Lord. They didn't do that. So you see, one just continues, leads to another and to another. And so here we have a mess again. There were casualties when it came to Ai. And here there's going to be casualties again because of what Joshua and the princes did. They made a decision without asking for the Lord's wisdom. We need to always ask for the Lord's way. Always ask for the Lord's wisdom. It's so simple and so necessary, so please that we do that. Now, let's see what else takes place here. In verse 23, we've read this a couple of times. We'll read it again. You have beguiled us, and you have said you were from a far country. Because you are liars, now therefore ye are cursed, and there shall none of you be freed from being a bondman. And so for the rest of their lives, they would be a servant and a slave. Now, if they would have come another way and come and become proselytes of Israel, they could have joined them. They could have praised the God and got the blessings of God. But instead of that, they came through the devil's way and not through God's way. And here we find, you know, it's the same thing today. You know, man try to come to the Lord Jesus. They try to be saved. They try to get to heaven another way. And they come and they trump up lies and things like that. And God says, all you have to do is come asking, and I'll accept you. That's all you need to do. But they didn't hear, and so now they're forever bondmen, slaves. And because they did not come openly and honestly. And same thing for yourself. If you decide not to come by faith to Jesus and accept Him, and you try some other way, some other means, some means of trickery to try to get yourself to be pleasing unto God and to get into His heaven, it's not going to happen. Because you have to trust in Jesus as your Savior. It has to be a personal relationship. You will know Him personally, not just know Him in your head. Whosoever confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath saved him shall be saved. Please, in the heart, you must trust in Jesus. It continues here. And they answered Joshua and said, because it is a certainty told thy servants, how that the Lord thy God commanded his servant Moses to give you all the land and to destroy all the inhabitants of the land from before you. Therefore we were sore afraid of our lives because of you. And we've done this thing. So they tried to reason it out. Well, you can reason out all you want to. If you don't come by faith to Jesus, you're hellbound. It's just that simple. If you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, you're bound for hell. And now verse 25, and now behold, we are come in thine hand, as it seemeth good and right unto thee to do unto us do. In other words, they're going to accept anything because they know the other alternative is death. And so did he unto them, and delivered them out of the hand of the children of Israel, that they slew them not. And Joshua made them that day hewers of wood and drawers of water of the congregation, and for the altar of the Lord, even unto this day, in the place which he chose. And so what a sad day. There's ways to come. We read it back in Deuteronomy chapter 20. You know, God did not just condemn these people to die. They had an opportunity. They heard of the power of God. They saw the power of God. All they had to do was come and plead for mercy, and they would have had mercy. All we need to do is come to Jesus and plead for mercy and ask him to save us. And he will save us. What a glorious day. What a wonderful day. And we need to look to Jesus as our Lord and Savior and trust in him each and every day. Please that you call upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Please that you don't try another way. Don't listen to anybody. Listen to the Word of God. Please, you know, people today, there's such deceivers out there. We've got such a sad array of churches that do not preach the gospel anymore. They don't tell you about the saving grace of Jesus Christ. They just preach a social gospel and a feel-good gospel, and they come and you get the big music and the bands, you know. You come and you're going to hear the old hymns sung. You come and you're going to hear the Word of God read. and you're going to hear the Word of God verse by verse studied, and that's what you're going to have. Now, if you don't want that, then you better check your heart, because today everything you want seems to be to tickle your fancy more than for your heart to be changed and to grow in the Lord Jesus Christ. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?